Alrighty, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I've been enjoying all the different messages throughout this week, and it's neat how a lot of the messages all fit together. And this message is somewhat similar, or some of the things that Brother Sam was pointing out in his message yesterday morning. There's some several similarities to the message that I have for you this morning here in Genesis chapter 13. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But for most of you, you know that I do a lot of construction, do different remodeling. And when I first started off, I didn't really obviously understand much about construction. Barely knew what a hammer or a tape measure was and how to use those different things. But that as the years progress, as hopefully you'll learn and be able to develop different skills, whatever jobs that you're doing, hopefully be able to learn and develop those different skills. But you know, as you go throughout life, you're going to make mistakes. But now, what do you do with the mistake that you make? A lot of people continue to repeat that same mistake over and over and over again, and they don't learn from the mistakes or the choices that they've made. For me, I was working on a bathroom at our house. Thankfully, it was at our house because I'm about to share with you a mistake that I made. And so I was working at our bathroom, and we were redoing the flooring, new tile, new vanities, new toilet, and then a new tub and a tub surround. So I ripped out all those different things and was going to do new fixtures. Got the flooring in, got the vanity in, and got the tub in, and then I was going to put a shelf in the shower. And so I decided to do something a little bit different with the shelf. I went from one wall to the other wall, and then you had to put a big header across it, and this was about a 5-foot shelf. So pretty large shelf in the bathroom, and for tiling, there's a whole process that you have to go through. First of all, you put the tub in. You usually put some mortar down. You set that tub in there. You get it all level. You screw it in into the studs. Then after that, then you put, it's called Hardieback, which is a concrete board. You put that over top of that tub. And then you waterproof it. You paint it with like a waterproof membrane. And you seal all this, the joints, all the corners in order so that no water will get through the tile. And then I went through the process, then I started doing the tiling. We were using 12 by 24 tiles and every thirds. And so it was a whole process. It took a while to get to this point. And I started putting those tiles up there, and I put a nice big marble saddle on the shelf and put the mosaic behind in for the back of that shelf. And when I got to tiling the top of that shelf, the wall comes down, it drops in, and then you have the mosaics behind there, and then the saddle. I made a mistake by not securing the tiles after I put them up there. I put the mortar and troweled it on the back of that tile, and I stuck it up there, and it seemed like it was staying there. I should have known that you're supposed to secure those or tape those or do something about that so they do not fall. And as I was going, I put one up there, I put another one up there, and another one, and it seemed like it was all holding. It was all fine. And then all of a sudden, I went to grab one more tile. I think it was the last tile for the top. I troweled it, turned around. All of a sudden, I heard bang. And I looked, like, I cannot believe this. One of the tiles fell down. Of course, it didn't fall down, flat in the tub. The corner of it hit that tub, and a huge chunk of that tub, the white covering, the coating in that tub. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. After all that work, I set the tub, did all the tile. Now, do I have to take out the whole tub? Do I have to redo everything? It was a costly mistake. That small mistake, I didn't count the cost of securing those things. I said, well, you know what? It won't be that big of a deal. And a lot of times in life, we don't count the cost of the choices that we make. And we may look at two different options and we say, oh, they both look good. You know what? This is the easier option. I'm going to go that route. But you know what? Sometimes it's easier for us to go towards sin. It's easier for us to be able to please our flesh, but we don't count the cost of making that choice. Thankfully, if it was a client's bathroom, I would have to rip it out. I have to redo it. Since it was our house, I was able to patch it and cover it up and paint it and you barely can tell. But oftentimes, sin takes you further than you want to go, and it costs you more than you're willing to pay. About 8 years ago, I was sitting in the same seats that you're sitting. It's hard to believe that's been about 8 years that I was here as a camper. And I remember a pastor preaching on this topic, and this is what I want to speak to you today about. And I can't remember who it was that was actually preaching and what exactly the individual, the person that he was using from the Bible as illustration. But I do remember it was one of the kings of Israel and how he lived a great life and he lived for the Lord, but then he began to make choices in his life that were devastating choices. And the main emphasis on that message was the impact and the power of the choices that we make. And I want to speak to you today on that topic of the power of the choice, the impact of our choices that we make. And the lesson I'm going to be, the main individual that I'll be speaking to you today about is the life of Lot. We're sort of going to do more of an overview of the life of Lot, but how one choice led to another choice, led to another choice, and at the end of his life, he looked back at his life, and it was a life of regret, of remorse, and of shame.
That's right.
And I hope that for each one of you here, that you won't end up like that. You know, Lot didn't start off his life saying, you know what, this is where I'm going to end up. He said, no, I would never be like that. You know what, a lot of us, we never think that I would never participate in that particular sin. I would never do that. But it all starts with a choice. One small choice leads to another choice, which leads to another choice in our life. You know, in choices, sometimes there are small consequences to those choices. Sometimes there's a devastating consequences to those choices. And once again, going back to construction, if you were to make a mistake and you punch a hole through the drywall, you know, that's not a big deal. You can just patch the hole. If you were to make a mistake on tiling job, okay, that takes more time, a lot more work to be able to repair that. It's more expensive. But now if you were to make a mistake on maybe electrical, if you were to wire a switch up or an outlet up and you weren't to do it properly, there are some incredible consequences that can come from that. You could burn down the house. You can injure a lot of people in the process if you're not careful. And what if you were to do something about plumbing? You weren't able to fit the plumbing together and a water line bust and you caused the house to flood or a gas line. You weren't careful about the fittings and all of a sudden a natural gas, if a little bit of natural gas. Have you ever smelled natural gas? Hopefully not, because that's not good. That's not a good sign. There's one time I was doing a job at a particular place, and it was the neighbor's house. All of a sudden, we're cutting, demoing in a bathroom, and all of a sudden, I began to smell this gas. I'm like, what is going on? What is that smell? And all of a sudden, we realized the neighbor's house, it was leaking, and realized all of a sudden, fire trucks were coming in, and all this emergency team was coming in order to stop this natural gas, because if something was to spark that whole house or a couple houses can all go up in fire. And so depending on the decision, depending on the choice that you're facing, there are different consequences that follow that choice. But the small choices that we make, I was challenged with this thought here, what small choices are you making in order to have a closer walk with God? If you aren't purposefully trying to say, I need to make this choice, I need to spend time in God's Word, I need to be walking with the Lord, if you aren't purposefully trying to make choices to draw closer to the Lord, our natural tendency is to draw away to the things of this world. In Genesis chapter 13, we're going to be looking at this, and let me just give you a quick background of what's going on in chapter 13. In chapter 12, we see in the beginning couple of verses, we see the Abrahamic covenant, how God promises to Abraham how he is going to bless that nation, bless him and give him a fruitful seed, and how he's going to, in verse number 3, he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all my families of the earth be blessed. Abraham then departs. He begins on a journey to where God wants him to go. Abraham and Lot and his family and all his cattle, they begin to go on their journey. They all of a sudden come face to face with a famine, and they realize they detour and they go down to Egypt. It doesn't take long there that Abraham makes a foolish mistake. He decides, you know what, I'm going to lie to Pharaoh and say that my wife, who's his wife, says, I'm going to say that Sarah is my half-sister. And so in order so that Pharaoh wouldn't kill him because to take Sarah. He goes lying. Eventually, God begins to plague Pharaoh, and Pharaoh realizes that Abraham lied to him. He says, get out of here. I want you to leave. Take all your stuff and just leave. I'm done with all these plagues. We arrive in the chapter 13 here, and we see Abraham, after making a foolish mistake, he chooses, though, and he returns back to God. And verse number 1, we're just going to read this chapter here. Verse number 1, it says, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him in the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there an altar at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren, is not the whole land before thee separate thyself? I pray thee from me, I will take the left hand, and then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And the Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that he had well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, and now as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and he separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that the Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Three different things I want to point out here was the choice, the continuation, and the consequences in the life of Lot. My original title for this message was Two Men, Two Choices, Two Results. You could also title the power of the choice. Either one is fine. But Abraham here, we quickly saw in chapter 12, we saw him making a mistake, but yet he changed from that and he turned back to the Lord. But there's a lot of people who say, you know what? They're content. They continue staying, continue doing things that are not pleasing to the Lord, and they never turn back to the Lord. And I hope that that would not be you. I hope that that would not be something that you would choose to continue walking away from the Lord. It's amazing, though, in the life of Lot that he was actually a saved individual. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and verse 7 through 8, it talks about how he vexed his righteous soul day in and day out, continually vexing his righteous soul. Oftentimes, if we would look at the choices that Lot made, we would either come to the conclusion either he's not saved or he's far, far away from the Lord. And he was not able to be used by God in any way. But first of all, the choice that Lot had. In verse number 10, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, which is like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Lot was faced with a choice. He either can go to the land of Canaan, or he can choose the plain of Jordan. He's faced with a decision point, a fork in the road. Go either this direction or this direction. We are faced oftentimes throughout our life with decisions. And the more and more, the older and older you get, the more decisions that you're going to face and the more responsibility that is given to you. And the choices, just as beginning of this year, I started doing some of my own business. But now that being a business owner, you have a far more you have a greater responsibility. Because if you make a mistake on a job, you can't just go point to your boss and saying, oh, it's his fault. It's because he did this or he did that. You know, you deal with it. No, it's my responsibility. Right now, as you're still younger, you're still learning, and you can go back to your parents and say, I don't know what to do, mom, dad, what do I do? But as you get older, there's more and more responsibility that you are going to be faced with. But the greatest choice that you will ever face in your life is, what are you going to do with Christ? Because these other decisions that, these other points that I'm going to point out here is, if this is a crossroad, you're either going this direction or this direction. And I hope that your choices are going to be pleasing to the Lord, but it doesn't matter how much it lines up with God's word. If you never have a relationship with the Lord, you're never going to be able to get back to that right path. The greatest decision that you will ever face is, what are you going to do with Christ? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? But the tendency, when we're faced at a crossroad in our life, what is our tendency? Well, we tend to go the direction that looks most appealing to us. When Lot was faced with that decision, he saw the land of Canaan, he saw the plains of Jordan, and the plains of Jordan looked far more appealing to him. And sometimes that is the way that we make a lot of our decisions in our life. What looks more appealing to us? And we don't count the cost for that decision. And what we look at, what we put in front of us, is going to affect the decisions that we make. May I ask you, what is it that you're focusing your attention on today, on these past couple of weeks? What is it that really draws your attention? What do you spend most of your time in? You know, if it is in God's Word, and you're focused on God, and you're focused on living for the Lord, you know what? When you face a crossroads in your life, you're going to tend to the direction in which you're looking. How many of you have your permits, your permit or your license in your drive? Have you ever been told that if you're looking to the left or the right, you know, you tend to veer that direction? And so that's when, as you begin to drive, you're going to realize that. If you're looking over to the left side, you're naturally going to veer to the left side. And that's the same way in life. If your focus is on the things of this world, on pleasing yourself, you're naturally going to tend toward that direction. In Romans chapter 12, you're all familiar with that verse. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this world has a goal. This world wants to conform you into their image. My cousin, he does a lot of marketing, and he's pretty high up in this marketing company. And one of the things he says is, he says what he tries to do when he's marketing to the people that are around him. People aren't persuaded so much by the facts. They're persuaded by creating a desire and say, you really want this. And so they create this desire for this product, and then they support it with the facts. They don't so much give you, this is why you need it because of A, B, C, and D. Say, you really need this because it's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you look better. People are going to accept you more. And then here's some other facts behind it as well. And that is what the world is trying to do in each one of your lives, and in my life as well. They're trying to put this thing that make it look so appealing. Have you seen it for all these different Burger King and McDonald's? And you see these burgers on TV, like, wow, that looks amazing. And then when you unwrap it, and you're like, really? That does not look like the picture on the wall. That's completely different. And so we tend toward the things that we put our focus on, and the world is constantly trying to put this world's pleasures, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in front of us. And so what are you putting, what are you looking on, what are you focusing on? And you know, even if you're saved, we still have the natural man that lives within us. In James chapter 1 verse 4, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. And you know what? Our lust, our natural man, is still alive and rearing, and it wants its way. And there's a constant battle. There's a constant battle that is going on between the new man and the old man. And who are we going to feed? When we're faced with choices, who are we going to please? We're either going to please the Lord or we're going to please our flesh. But you know what? When you please the flesh, you grieve the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of you. And so who are we going to please when we faced those decisions? Lot was gazing upon what was appealing to him. We think of Adam and Eve, think of the story of Adam and Eve, and how when they were in the Garden of Eden, and God gave them, here's all the fruits that you can eat. You can eat of any tree except for this one. And what did the devil do? He said, oh, hath God said, is it really that bad? Just, you know, if you just eat this fruit, you're gonna feel so much better. You're gonna be as gods. And that's what the devil is good at. He's good at lying and deceiving us. And he puts that thing right out in front of us, and he just wants us to reach forward and to grab that. And so what are you focusing on? So the cautiousness of the choice. When we're faced with a decision, we ought to be seeking godly counsel from his word and others who are walking with the Lord. I didn't see Lot going to God and talking to the Lord and figuring out, okay, where should I go? Should I go to the left or should I go to the right? He just said, you know what? This is what I want. That's where I'm going. And you know, as teens, as you're given more and more freedoms, I've seen a lot of teens who've grown up and who sat in these same pews, and they got out and they were given the freedom to do what they wanted to do. And they say, you know what, this is what I want. And they went off on their own. And you know what, they're suffering the consequences because of that. And that is not, I know that is not what Pastor Gable or Pastor Roland or any of the pastors that they want for you. They never thought they would end up where they are now, but it all started with what they were putting their attention on, what they're focusing on. Lot was looking at Sodom. But we see the continuation of Lot. He didn't, after he made this one choice, he began to look at it, but then he began to locate himself to Sodom. And in verses 12 and 13, it says, and Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. What is it that you're putting your focus on? You know, we may look at that, and we may try to make a decision and say, you know what, it's not that bad. This is, I guess, the problem I have a lot with the entertainment of this day and age. You know, I say most of the movie is good. Most of the movie is good. There's just a little bit that, you know, it's not that good, but you know what, most of it is it's pretty good. But we still allow, we accept it. And it's a slow, gradual process. Lot went from looking to locating to living in Sodom, and then he began to lead in Sodom. See, it's small choices. And he began to put that Sodom before his eyes and looked at it. And before long, it doesn't become that bad. It doesn't seem that bad. When you first got saved and you're sensitive to the things of God, there are certain things that really stood out to you. If someone was to curse, or someone to use a certain language, or some scene went on the TV, or some image, whatever it is, you're like, oh, I would never look at that. You would quickly turn away and say, you know, I cannot put my eyes on that. Or I cannot listen to that. Or I do not want to be involved in that. But you know, sometimes you become dull to those things. You can become insensitive to those things, and just becomes an everyday normal thing in your life. and does not take long for you to actually be participating in what before you say, I would never participate in. And so beware that we're not pitching our tent towards Sodom and putting those things in front of us. Oftentimes we say, yeah, I would never participate in this scene or participate in drinking or participate in going out to these clubs or whatever. But how come we would never go there, but yet we put that thing right in front of us in that television, right in our rooms, or right on your phone? Be careful, young people. Be careful what you do with your phones. Be careful what you do with your iPads. Be careful what you do with your computer. Be careful when you have the ability to have a vehicle. Now you have freedom to go wherever you want to go. What are you going to do with that freedom? Be careful, because it does not take long for you to take the next step deeper and further into sin. Don't be surprised if we step to the edge and say, you know what, I'm not actually involved in the sin. I'm right here. The sin's right here, but I'm not involved in it. If you're right at the edge, it doesn't take long for you to be able to slip and to fall into that sin. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27, it says, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes be not burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? And so if you are around that sin, if you're near that sin, it does not take long for you to either have the scent of that sin, or you're going to be right involved and you're going to be harmed because of the choices that you make. What choices are you making today? So not only did he locate himself before Sodom, but then he began to live right in Sodom. Chapter 14, verse 11 through 12, it says, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. He went from locating near in front of Sodom to now living in Sodom. See how it's a gradual process, a gradual choice after choice, which leads you down this road that you never thought that you would go down. We realize the more that we can immerse ourselves in this world, the more we are realizing that we're accepting of this wicked lifestyle of this world. Sodom was like a modern day Las Vegas, and probably far worse than that. How could Lot, a saved person, be involved in that sort of sin and say, you know what, this is okay? It all started with a choice, one choice after another. Then eventually he began to lead in Sodom. In chapter 19, in verse 1 through 2, we can see that. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go my way. Nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. But in the beginning it says, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Those individuals, people who sat in the front of the gate, were often the leaders or counselors for that city, were often men who were high up in that city. So not only did Lot was Lot living in that city, but he was also leading in that city. And how could Lot do that? One choice after another. You would think, though, after everything he went through, we're going to look at the consequences in just a second, that he would say, you know what, this is not pleasing to the Lord. You would think, though, that he would say he should have known better. He lived with Abraham. He was a saved believer. He should have known better. That's right. And a lot of you here, we've been taught, we've hear what God says. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. But oftentimes we make choices that, even though you're like, Lord, I know this isn't right with you, but I'm going to do it anyway because this is what I want to do. And they end up in results that they never thought were possible. You think of David and Bathsheba. I'm sure David thought he would never commit that sin against Bathsheba. But you know what? The amazing thing about that, yes, he did commit a horrible sin. But he recognized that sin. He recognized what he did was wrong. And in Psalms chapter 51, you can see his attitude of repentance. And he turned back to the Lord, you know, and God was still able to use him. And I don't want to discourage you, and I want you to realize that God is a long-suffering, he's a forgiving God. And he, even if we make mistakes, even if we sin, even if you go and you choose something that is very wicked, that is foolish, and you realize, what did I do? You can still go back to a long-suffering God who says, I'm always willing to forgive. And I believe God was willing to do that with Lot if he would have turned from his sin. He would have forgiven Lot. He would have accepted back, and he could have still used the rest of Lot's life. But he said, you know what? I want to continue doing what I want to do. You know, you can either get back up, because you know what? We will fall. We will sin. We will fail. But you know what? The righteous man, the just man, getteth up 7 times. I forget exactly how that verse goes, but he's going to get up again and again and again. But you know what the devil wants to do is he's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to point out what your failures are. He wants to look at you and say, you failed there. You can never be used by God. You can't do this. You're going to fail again. You're just going to fall again. And he wants to keep you down. But I hope for you, for each one of you, boys and girls, that you're going to say, you know what? No. That's what the devil wants. He wants to destroy your life. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he wants, when he destroys your life, you know what? You often have influence on other people. And so you have a choice. You either can continue, or like Lot did, or you can get back up like David did, and he said, and repent and turn from his sin and turn back to Christ. In the life of Lot, we look at the consequences there at the end, the sequence of Lot's punishment in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 1. Genesis 14 verse 11 says, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Because of Lot's choice of going to Sodom, there's armies that came, there's battle, there's war that he was involved in. Not only was there war that was he was involved in, but he was also kidnapped. He was also taken and captured by these individuals. In Genesis, in 2 Peter 2, verse 7 through 8, we can go ahead and turn there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. Second Peter 2, verse 7 through 8, we'll see also something else that Lot went through. It says, and delivered just Lot vexed his filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth in among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know, when you live in a life that is against what Christ God wants you to do, you're going to be continually be vexed. You're going to continue to be suffering oppression, and you're going to continue to be faced with discouragement because you realize you're not living for the Lord. You're not walking with the Lord. So he is facing, have you ever been, if you're a child of God and you know that there's sin between you and the Lord, how does that make you feel? Oftentimes it's grief, it's shame. It's, you realize you're not able to talk to the Lord. And this is what Lot was in continually, day after day, he was facing this. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 15 through 16, it talks about how he lost all his material wealth. All of his stuff was taken away from him. In Genesis 19, verse 17 through 20 and 26, it talks about how he lost his very wife because as they left Sodom, he said, to not even look at Sodom. But his wife said, you know what? I love that sin so much. She turned around and she became a pillar of salt. He lost his wife as well. And also because of his sin, the shame of incest with his daughters in Genesis chapter 19, verse 30 through 36. Another consequence because of his sin. It just kept going more and more, deeper and deeper into sin. You would think at some point you say, you know what, I want to live for the Lord, but yet he never chose to turn around in his life. And yet he looked back at his life and saying it's full of regret, of shame. And I want to point this out here. Lot had an impact on many people. First of all, the impact in his own life. His spiritual walk was darkened. He was not able to hear from the Lord. He was not walking with the Lord. You think of the verse in Psalms chapter 66 and verse 18. Says, if you regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. His spiritual walk was hindered. And you know what? And when our spiritual walk is hindered, we're not able to help others in their spiritual walk.
That's right.
It has a compounding effect on other people. Because of his choices, not only was he affected spiritually, but those around him were affected as well. We see the impact on others' lives around him, his family. Since he chose to go into sin and to live in Sodom, a place of sin, his family grew up in that environment. His family also, they didn't even want to flee from Sodom, even though they knew it was going to be destroyed. Because they grew up in that sin and amongst that sin, because of his choice, it affected his family. It affected his friends, affected the people that he associate with. And you know what? When we choose to follow after sin, it's going to influence those that are around you.
That's right.
You know, a lot of you are seniors, and I remember when I was... Some of you guys, you're younger, the youngers, maybe 7th, 8th grade, and I remember looking up at the seniors, and I'm like, wow, those guys are huge. Man, I just want to be like them. And I remember when I was your age and what that was like, and then you get to seniors, and then you look up to people who are older, and you're like, wow, man, they are so much, you know, older than me, and they know so much more than me, and I want to be like them. And you know what? You have an influence, because I remember looking up at those older people and saying, you know, I want to be like that person. And I want to be like that person. And I want to be like that person. And whether you realize or not, you're influencing people around you based upon the choices that you make. Have you ever seen some of the young kids? It was sort of funny. Well, Bertina was doing this to Akina one time at church. And so I think it was at church, and sometimes she does that at home as well. And so Akina is doing something, maybe she's writing something, and there's Bertina right there trying to copying everything that Akina is doing. Akina's brushing her hair, and then Bertina's brushing her hair. It's like, stop copying me. And it's just, stop copying me. Will you be quiet? Will you be quiet? You know, it's sort of funny how these little kids, they do that. And you're like, okay, you don't want those little kids to follow you. But you know, whether you realize it or not, they are following you. They are looking up to you as an example.
Yes.
And the choices you make are going to impact those who are younger than you. And those who are younger, you may say, well, my choice is, it's not that big a deal. But you know what? You may have brothers and sisters. You may have other friends. And as you grow, the choices that you make are going to impact those individuals as well. And so your influence is so incredibly important. And this has been a challenge to me, because there's probably several of you that are looking either at my life, at Pastor Gable's life, Pastor Roan, Brother Hart. You're looking at different people who are older than you, and I hope that my life, my choices, are hopefully a godly example and testimony to you. I would hope that my life, my choices, would not steer you away from the Lord. Sometimes you're like, oh, it's just me, it's just a sin, it's only going to affect me. You know what? That your choices can affect a lot more people in your life. And then last of all, the impact on the name of Christ. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14 says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the children also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Is your life bringing glory to the Lord, or is it bringing reproach and shame to the Lord? What small choices are you making today? and who are they impacting? And are they honoring, and are they bringing glory to the Lord? And so what choices are you making? What influence? Who are you influencing? And we ought to be striving to influence and encourage those that are younger than us to live for the Lord. And so what are you looking at? What are you focusing upon? What are you putting in front of you, locating to? Where are you living? And who are you leading? Lot made those small choices, and it impacted a great amount of people in his life. And I hope that for you to realize there is a great power to the choices that you make right now and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And so I pray and I hope that that is a challenge to you, the power of the choice that we have in our life. Let's close with a word of prayer.